Hey everyone, welcome back to episode 3. Today I wanted to talk about the right way. We're always asking, what is the right way? We're asking ourselves, we're asking others, how did you do it? Or we're being told by others, you're not doing it right. You can't do that, or you fail, and that this is the way. This is the way. By the way, any Mandalorian fans out there? The music is so good, isn't it? Great series, great music. Anyhow, it's funny though, isn't it? I don't know if anyone else out there is an introvert, but I am for sure. And which doesn't mean I don't have a personality or don't have anything to say, but sometimes it just takes a little bit of time for introverts and particularly myself to get vulnerable and just be myself, you know? So anyway, I think we're getting there. So I wanted to share a story today about our wedding and also about Iceland. I know you're probably thinking that those don't really go together, but I promise it will make sense at the end. It'll all come back to square one. So you may remember from episode 1 that I mentioned I got married recently, and that is true in a couple of ways. My now husband and I got engaged in January of 2019, actually, and we started planning our wedding and that sort of thing. And we started looking around. We live in New York, which if anyone has tried to plan a wedding in New York City, you can only imagine that the prices range from sticker shock to astronomical. And so we started looking around and we were getting quotes for really exorbitant prices for what we thought was a small wedding, maybe 50, 75 people. Again, introverts, few but very close friends. And they were telling us, oh, yeah, you know, you can have this wedding here, but the price for prime Saturday night in the summer or the fall was going to be minimum like 50K just for the venue, just literally to have the day for, or the evening for us. And so we're like, 50K? That's insane. That's absolutely out of this world. And that wasn't even for flowers and food and alcohol and whatever. So, you know, I started to get really depressed. I was like, well, we won't be able to afford this. And so they said to us, oh, well, you know, of course we could work with you to find something that's more suitable to your budget. So we go, okay, great. What would that look like? And they said, okay, you could do a morning brunch. Okay, we could do a morning brunch. That sounds cute. That sounds fun. But it would be a morning brunch in February on a Tuesday, maybe outdoors in the courtyard. And we go, what? Did you really just say all of those words in one sentence together? And it just was one of those things where you had this whole vision of what you thought you'd wanted. And progressively, the more words that they said, the more deflated you felt. And so again, I felt pretty sad and depressed. Again, you know, hashtag first world problems. And I started looking for other alternatives. We started thinking, should we even have a wedding ceremony? Should we elope? Should we just do it at City Hall and call it a day? And I came across a wedding video of a couple getting married in Iceland. I thought, oh, that's pretty cool. And it looked I mean, it looked phenomenal. The scenes, the videography, all of this stuff. And I had already been to Iceland before, and my husband and I actually went a second time together about maybe only a year before we got engaged. I went for the first time in 2009 in the summer, just in the midst or shortly after their financial collapse. And I went with a couple of high school friends and we drove around the ring road along the south. And it was, you know, the best trip I'd ever taken up until that point. Just, and if anyone has ever been to or is thinking about going to Iceland, it is my favorite place on earth and just so amazing how so many different landscapes and views and geologic formations can be packed into one tiny island in the North Atlantic. And anyway, I digress. So my husband and I had gone a second time a year before that, and we actually went around the whole island. We did the whole Ring Road drive, and it was spectacular and just outrageously beautiful. So then we started toying with the idea that, hey, maybe we could do a destination wedding. We obviously couldn't do it with all 50, 75 of our guests. And again, even that is a small wedding, but we weren't going to do that and bring 50 or 75 people over there. That just, you know, again, budget considerations and, you know, by nature of destination weddings, it tends to be a more intimate affair. And then we were thinking, well, should we do it this way? You know, we see so many people having these types of weddings, and maybe we should be doing it, you know, the way that we've seen other people do it, the way that other people have cocktail hour and their ceremony outdoors in this beautiful venue or garden and that sort of thing. And then what struck me was, what's the right way to have a wedding? Is there a right way to have a wedding? And it sounds really silly and simple. For some people, they dream of their weddings since they were a small child. That's something that I never particularly thought about. I always just wanted someone to, schmooze around with me and sit on the couch and, you know, watch TV together. That was my, those were my dreams as a kid. But we decided to go forward with having a destination wedding in Iceland because we found this great planner, we found a great videographer, and we were all set to go in May of 2020. And of course, the pandemic hit and we thought, oh, okay, maybe it won't be, you know, it started in March, the surge in New York. We thought, okay, maybe by April, and obviously it didn't. And I remember being pretty sad and pretty bummed out on the actual day that we were supposed to get married. We ended up ordering takeout from a fairly nice restaurant, and we, you know, had a lovely meal, but obviously we were both a little, you know, we were bummed, but we obviously understood that there were a lot more important things going on than our wedding. And it was a small drop in the bucket compared to the losses and the grief and the suffering that was going on for so many others. And we were both pretty knee deep, neck deep, actually, taking care of COVID patients. And we just kept going to work and delayed it again till September. And that didn't work out either. And so we finally moved it to a full year later, May of 2021. And to be honest, a lot of things changed with how our wedding actually ended up happening. We ended up having only 7 guests. It was us 2 plus 7 guests. And we originally anticipated having 20 guests. And there were so many hoops to jump through, a fair amount of obstacles. My husband has a friend who decided to work remotely in Barbados. Barbados was allowing Americans to work remotely in Barbados for a year or so during the pandemic. And his friend took advantage of that. And he had to come back to New York to get vaccinated and then was supposed to come back for his second dose of Moderna. And then there was a volcanic eruption in St. Vincent. And the ash fall from St. Vincent blew directly over to Barbados. So his airport was closed. We're, you know, trying to get him on a flight, trying to get him an appointment for his second vaccine dose because he missed it because the airport was closed. And so that was a whole fiasco. And you may or may not have known that there was a volcanic eruption, another one, but in Iceland, actually. Luckily, that didn't have any effect on travel, like the volcanic eruption several years ago that I think shut down a lot or a huge amount of air traffic over Europe because of the visibility that the ashfall was obscuring for flights going over there. And so we're like, okay, how many volcanoes are going to erupt in order for us to, before we can actually get there? My husband's parents were supposed to fly out of another airport, their home airport. That flight got canceled. Then they decided, okay, we're going to book out of DC. That got canceled. And then finally, they ended up on the same flight as us to Iceland. We turned out to be the first flight from our airline, I believe, going to Iceland since the pandemic started. And it was a big deal for Iceland to have tourism kind of begin again. Some of our general managers at the hotels told us that, you know, it'd been a really hard year for them, tourism-wise, which is a huge, huge part of their economy, and that they were really happy and excited and proud were the words that they used to host us there. But going back to talking about the right way of doing things, what's the right way? We ended up having a 7-person wedding in the middle of nowhere in Iceland. We hired a planner who had access to these private areas because the majority of the land in Iceland is actually privately owned by families, etc. And it was us there with a waterfall in the background and no one for miles, miles. We literally drove off the road in these huge, huge super jeeps with tires that came up to essentially my neck. And we drove off road through rivers to get to these locations. And I just remember thinking, this is our wedding. Like, how cool, how amazing is this? We decided that the right way for us to have a wedding was to do this because it felt right. It felt like what would make us the happiest to be able to have this experience and to be able to share it with people that we love. And it's not to say that our wedding was the best and it was better than other people's wedding or whatever. That's not it at all. It's that it was right for us. And that is the right way. I saw a video of someone else's wedding recently where the bride and groom entered a ballroom on this rotating platform and they're blasting EDM music. And then they shot cannons of like compressed air or whatever it was into the crowd, and people went wild and they started cheering all this stuff. And I was like, that is awesome. That's an awesome wedding. But we wouldn't have done that because that's not us. It doesn't take away from how awesome and epic their wedding experience was, but it just wasn't us and it's not right for us. We are so often bombarded with what other people think is the right way. Oh, you have to do things this way because that's the way it's always been done. How could it be done any other way? It's worked so far. So why should you mess with it? Why are you going off on that path on your own when this is the way, when it's already been done, when you know that you're going to fail because you're doing it wrong? And so often that holds us back from pursuing what's right for us, what's in our hearts, what could really make a difference in the world, but we're too afraid to go and pursue it because it's not traditional, because it hasn't been the path that others have taken before us. It's uncharted territory. And that's scary. And not only scary, it can be downright frightening to the point where it just keeps us in our tracks and we frozen from moving forward. But what I've learned from my own experiences with things that I was paralyzed by fear of doing, and we'll talk about this in another episode, was that it ended up being one of the most worthwhile things I've ever done. Because what's on the other side of fear? Usually, if you're so afraid of doing it, it probably means it could be incredibly life-changing. It could bring about something that you couldn't even imagine. And scary things usually means that it's probably meaningful. And that's all we really are looking for from life, is to make our mark, to have a meaningful existence. At least for me. I had a patient recently who is in his 30s with metastatic, probably pancreatic cancer. It was hard for them to exactly pinpoint if it was coming from his colon or pancreas, but they presumed it was pancreatic cancer. And he's in his 30s. I'm in my 30s. Working where I work, I unfortunately see a lot of patients with end-stage cancer in their 30s, 40s, 50s. And he originally was from West Africa. And he told me when he first came here, he slept on the streets, slept on the subway, and was so hungry. When he showed up for his first job that someone had arranged for him, he passed out because he had only eaten one, I think, McDonald's chicken sandwich or something in 3 days. And he passed out and they were like, "Are you okay? Do you need to go to the hospital or something?" And he goes, "No, just get me a chicken sandwich and a can of Coke." And then he told me a story about how he was on the subway once and saw this woman who was crying and obviously in distress. And he tried to go over there to help her. And he asked her, "What's wrong? Why are you crying? It's going to be okay," trying to console her. And she told him that she'd been kicked out of her apartment that she'd been sharing with her cousins. And for some reason or another, they got into an argument or some sort of disagreement. And it turns out that Had he not been there, she was on her way. She had plans to jump in front of the train at Times Square, and she was just going to, that was it. She was going to end it. And he told me, he said, you know, I want to live, and I want to live for as long as possible, and I want to get treatment for this cancer. But if for some reason I die tomorrow, if that's it for me, I'll know that I made a difference, and that is enough for me. I helped that woman. I made a difference in this world, and I made a difference certainly for her. You know, that's one of those things where you kind of always take with you when patients and people have that kind of insight into what their life has meant, not only to the people that they love and the people that know them, but to strangers, a complete stranger. He'd never met her before. He just saw her crying, and out of the desire to connect with another human being, he ended up saving her life. They kept in touch. He ended up, you know, helping her out with school and that sort of thing. And it just makes you think that there is no right way to live, to exist. What's right is doing what's in our hearts, what feels true, what brings purpose, what feels meaningful. Because once you tap into that and you can show the world what's in there, we become unstoppable. But oftentimes it's on the other side of fear. I mean, take this podcast, for instance. I had never thought I was going to do one. I had contemplated it for months and months and months. I'm still only recording episode 3, and I haven't released anything. The majority of the time, I'm thinking, this is absolute shite. You know, it's a load of crap. But I'm still putting it out there because it feels right, because I know and I hope that it will strike a chord with someone out there, and that person is going to do amazing things, and there's going to be a ripple effect. And if that can even happen with one person, a single person, then this effort of trying to edit things and trying to figure out the name and figuring out if my artwork is correct and that sort of thing, then that'll have been worth it. Just like my patient who said that his life was worth something. It was meaningful. He's happy with his life because of that interaction with that one woman. You know, and even with the wedding, just by nature of wanting to do something that felt right for us, even though the timing was off, and there were so many obstacles, it ended up working out. It really ended up working out the best way that it possibly could. And the way that it worked out was probably even better than what we could have expected. It was beautiful. It was intimate. It was everything that we wanted. And we're supposed to go May of 2020, but if we had gone May of 2020, there would have been no volcanic eruption in Iceland. And now if you go to Iceland, you can actually hike up to the volcano and take photographs of the volcano and be there when it erupts. It's like a geyser now, actually. It erupts when we were there, it was every 7 to 10 minutes. We spent 7 hours at the volcano, hiking up one ridge, hiking back down to the valley, and then hiking up the other ridge to the other view of it. And we took some what we call engagement photos, or we just took some shots there with our wedding planner, and we never would have been able to have that experience and those photographs and those memories if it weren't for the pandemic, to be honest. And as frustrating as it was in May of 2020, sitting on our couch having what was supposed to be a celebratory dinner for us, but feeling really bummed that we couldn't go, you know, a year later, thinking about it now, it just, it's funny how things work out, almost as if this was always meant to be the way that we had our wedding. And it's hard to accept sometimes, especially when there's a lot of pain that comes with the path that it took for you to be able to get to where you are now. Pain that's way, way beyond not being able to have your wedding. That's chump change. Who cares? You know, we had to postpone our wedding. So what? And I remember a friend of mine commented on my photos. I was posting a lot of wedding photos and videos on social media. And she said, "What is this life? How is this your life right now?" And obviously, you know, I was flattered, but I thought about it. And I remember thinking that this is a consequence of everything and all the experiences that I've had in my life, including working in the field that I am now, for me to be here, because I'm constantly reminded of how fleeting life can be. And I've gone bungee jumping, I've gone skydiving, I've done some things that some people would consider pretty risky, and not because I want to risk my life, but because I wanted to fully live. I thought I was going to die at 27. It's really weird. And don't ask me why. It's just, I had a thought. I thought I was going to die at 27, and I'm for some reason still here. And I want to live my life on purpose and to really extract everything that I can from it. And that's what I hope everyone can take away from their time on Earth, is to really live. And it's not just fun experiences, not just traveling, although that's amazing. It's doing things that have purpose, that give us meaning. That's what living is to me and to many others. And again, one of the things that I love about palliative care is the constant reminder that life is too short. Literally at any moment, you don't know what's going to happen. And every morning that we wake up is a gift. And I don't take full advantage of that, but just having the reminder of it. I have a patient who in her 50s has this terrible tumor in her belly that grew into her liver, eroded into her large intestine, her colon, and caused a small perforation. And she couldn't get surgery, and she was about to go home on home hospice. We'd been consulted for pain. She was about to go home on home hospice in the morning. And at 5 p.m., I went back to her room. Her family was there. I was explaining, this is how you're going to take your medication. You're going to have this medication, a long acting, and then you're going to have a short acting. And, you know, you're going to take it this many times a day if you have more pain, et cetera, et cetera. And she was fine. She said, okay, I get it. She repeated it back to me, all that stuff. I come in the next morning and she is obtunded, totally unresponsive, couldn't get her to wake up, gave her, you know, reversal medications, and which took away her pain. She woke up a little bit, but she was incredibly delirious, not herself at all. She had soiled herself multiple times throughout the night, and her cancer probably just got to a point where it eroded too far into her intestines, and she didn't wake up. And that was it. 12 hours. Even for me, it's kind of unbelievable, because I literally was explaining her opioid regimen to her the day before. And again, this is just another incredibly painful and sobering reminder that life is too short to be on a path and doing things that don't feel right for us, that don't bring us joy, that don't bring us a little bit closer to what our ultimate goal is, to what truly makes us sing in our hearts, to what's gonna make us jump out of bed because we're so excited to do it. It's not gonna happen overnight, but the right way is ultimately what's in our hearts, what feels right. And that's all we can really ask for. So as you go about your day, I hope that you can take a little bit of this with you. When you're struggling over a decision, when you're not sure which way to go, when you're feeling stuck or paralyzed or just in limbo, try to tune into your gut, your heart, and think and feel, more importantly, really feel what is right for you. Because no one can answer that except for you. No one can tell you this is right, this is wrong. You have to sort it out for yourself. And so often we forget what it's like to really feel. We have a hard time coming up with answers to questions like, who am I? Or what makes me happy? So as you go about the rest of your day, try to feel a little bit more. See if that does anything or changes anything for you. And remember that as long as you're steering your path, your life, in a direction that feels right in your heart, then that's the right way. So take care, really live your life, because you've only got one. And I'll see you on the next one.